Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
We do it thanks to our mates at the Mitsubishi Triton. You can't frighten a Triton. Been around forever. All the real tradies have a Triton, and Hoops has got a Ford Ranger, which is a good car too, but it's a little bit of a Nancy boy car with you driving it. It never does a real day's work, does it?
Please, there's with no you. Mirrors at your house?
Mate, no. But I
mate, you get chaps, as you like to call them, in to change light bulbs.
Yeah, but so look at your hands, mate. They're like... there's not a they're not a mark on your hands.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you just got like little girly hands, mate.
Mm.
You know?
Have I?
You have, yeah.
And before unlike Anthony's, who
look at yours. Let's take a photo of yours, and let's take a photo of mine. You haven't got a callus on yours.
Why have you?
You've got fingernails that look like you just got them done at the nail salon.
Yes.
Fair to
you. Yeah, I'm not saying.
How did we get here? Haven't we got?
Well, I'll tell you how we got here. Because every time you say something, your boyfriend over here has got to back you up. And every time he says something, you've got to back him up. I'd like to see you blokes.
That's called loyalty, Anthony. Something you will never understand.
Now you want to start talking about visual. What's the golden rule of radio? No visual gags. So now you want to talk about Blake's hands.
What would you know about the golden rule of radio, mate? You need to go to Remley Tafe and do a course about radio.
None of whom have got anything to do with you.
Anyway, God forbid anyone ever...
Maybe, Anthony, if you'd done that TAFE course that you were trying to get Hoops and do, you wouldn't have been sacked from so many jobs.
Well, maybe we could do it together. We could do it together. But anyway, look, speaking of being professional, we've got him on the phone, the Panthers... famous winger, he recently turned 30, all-round rugby league good guy, Josh Mansour. Welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks for having me, guys. How's it going?
Fantastic, mate. Sorry for all the carry-on.
How are your hands, Josh?
My hands are pretty rough after last night, but pretty bit of cuts and bruises. So,
any skin off the knuckles or what?
What was that?
Any skin off the knuckles?
A bit actually. But I didn't connect with anyone last night, but it was close to.
It was a cracking game, wasn't it, Josh? Looks like there's a fair bit of feeling between these two clubs now, and obviously a little bit of history with your coach.
There's a lot, obviously a lot of emotion and passion, as you saw in the last 10 minutes especially. But, mate, Tigers are a really good side. We knew we were going to have our hands full, and they've been playing really great footy. So definitely good to get the win there, and... it was a bit unfortunate the last 5 minutes, but, you know, again, it's whatever happens on the field stays on the field, and we're just moving on.
Josh, when these games, these rivalries, I suppose, grow or develop between clubs, and you guys look like you're in the early stages of creating a bit of a Panthers-Tigers rivalry, are they more fun to play because of that? Because there's that little edge to it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, it comes down to the passion, right? So with me, I think I've been brought up, you know, hating Parramatta as soon as I started, played my first game for Penrith, right? And so every time we play those guys, like, it's always a bit of fire in the belly. You know, you always know it's going to be a tough 80 minutes and, you know, the game's going to be run mostly on effort. So I think it's no different towards last night. You know, it was 12-all for a long period of the game, and we were fortunate enough to get a field goal and then score in the dying minutes. And, as soon as the game was over, we knew how important that game was and how much it meant to not only to our coach but to the club. And, it's always good to get those wins, especially in the derby games.
Hey, Josh, it's Gordy, mate. Congratulations on last night. What did has Ivan brought to Penrith this time that wasn't around the last time he was coaching you guys?
I think just his main personality is obviously he's very calm and collected, and I think obviously it's a bit of a different squad to it when he first came to the club. I think when we first came, we had a very core of experienced older players. I think the majority of the squad now is very young, and I think we're trying to build a very exciting brand of football. And I think he's been doing that. Obviously, last year was a pretty tough year. We had a lot of distractions off the field, and it kind of affected us playing footy. And putting that all aside, we learned a lot last year, and we just want to continue playing good footy and see what this year's got in store for us.
Hey, you know how you say that you learn a lot? If you're ever marking Big Mike Acevo, do what every other winger does and go in and try to tackle the centre. Because that's what they're doing. Everybody's got misreads with Big Micah.
I was marking Micah every post session when he was at Penrith, so I know all about it, believe me. He's been a... It was unfortunate that we let him go. You know, we knew he was a try-scoring machine. when he was playing for our Reggie boys out in Penrith. And, yeah, he's always been a big boy and hard to handle. And everyone's seen that now with what he's doing at Para. So,
yeah, he's definitely...
He's got a long career.
He's a weapon, isn't he, Josh? What about last night? You guys looked as though it was clearly a deliberate part of the game plan to really target that Tigers' right edge. Stephen Crichton in particular, this young gun centre, terrific success.
Yeah. He's so young, yet so he's got so much talent. You know, he's a kicker. He's got great feet and, like, he's just got a great athletic ability. He's just so tall and rangy and, he's added a lot of strike power to our left edge, and yeah, I'm really, really glad he's played inside me. I'm just gonna let him do his magic, and I'll just hopefully finish it off. And he's been playing good footy for us.
Looked like there was a fair bit of good verbal involved too. At one stage, David Nofaluma was absolutely giving it to somebody, and we had the tongue out. And what was all that about?
There was a lot of stuff spoken on the field that I really can't repeat, but. I think he was blowing up at the ref half the time, to be honest with you. But, yeah, you know, he's been, speaking on off, he's been playing really good footy. Mm. Again, last night there was a lot of passion on, you know, both teams. We just really wanted to win the game, and gratefully it was us.
Who's your best of verbal blokes, Josh?
Well, I would have said Jimmy Vallone, but he's not at the club anymore.
Yeah, yeah. He never missed.
Dollar one.
Brett Naden's got a bit of lip in him, but... I think I do as well when it comes down to it. Me and BJ somehow always get into a scuffle every time we play against each other. We've got a few blokes, don't you worry.
Speaking of BJ, you're talking about Joey Leilua, and I'm not sure if you've seen the news or not yet, but he's been hit with a grade 3 dangerous contact head or neck charge. He's looking at 4 weeks if he takes the early plea, or 6 weeks if he goes down and fights it and gets found guilty. What did you make of the incident with Dylan Edwards last night?
It was just no need for it, to be honest. Mm. Like, I know he was obviously affected with what happened with his brother early on in the game, and that was just an unfortunate incident. Like, some things happen on the footy field where there's no malicious intent, and that was one of those circumstances, and it obviously affected him. And last few minutes of the game, he just had a brain snap, and I think we've seen it with a few players in the past. But BJ, I think he lets his passion get in the way of his decision making sometimes, and this is just one of the cases.
Kenny, you go.
I was going to say, with some players, mate, it's just in them, and it's a double-edged sword with them, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you just can't play on too much emotion. If you do, it's just not going to... It's going to affect your decisions, and, it's just going to pretty much blind you. And that's exactly what happened, He just... I don't know what he was thinking at the time, but, obviously it wasn't the right thing to do, and poor Dylan copped the full brunt of it.
It still kept boiling after that as well, didn't it? Because aside from when you all got together on the field, then you went up to the grandstands, and there was Ivan giving a couple of the Tigers fans blowing a little kiss and giving a little wave. What did you make of all of that as a send-off?
Listen, I think it was all good banter in the end. Obviously, being a Tiger, like, for the Tigers fans, I can... Obviously, there's a bit of bad blood there, and, he was getting heckled all game. So, I think, with Ivan... I was actually surprised he even gave him a reaction. He normally doesn't do anything, but, I think it was just good banter overall, and, it's good to see.
Shows what it means to him, doesn't it?
Yeah. I can see where it's coming from, the Tigers fans, obviously he didn't fulfill his contract or whatnot, but again, I think for me, family comes first, and he had a good opportunity to come back to Penrith and coach his son, and the rest is history.
I tell you what, Nathan Cleary's footy's gone to another level this year, hasn't it?
I think with that, I think it's been the acquisition of Appy coming into the side. He's been unreal out of dummy half. And it's good to have another voice in our leadership group, and he's got a lot of experience, and he brings a lot of flair to our attack as well. So, it's great to have him back at the club, and I think Nath especially is really flourishing off him.
Good on you, Josh. Good to catch up, mate.
Thanks for having me, gents.
There he is, Josh Mansour, joining us on Sunday. Sin being here, thanks to our mates at Mitsubishi Triton, and of course the two teams from Sydney's West sitting first and second, Parramatta and Penrith, and how good would it be?
Yeah,
I mean, that would be one, as you would say, Gordy, a ding-dong battle, those two in a grand final.
Well, absolutely. They just don't like each other. And you can tell that there's always been a battle of the West. I sit on the couch with Nathan Hindmarsh, and Penrith and Parramatta always have that great game, and the Tigers under Madge have jumped into that circle, haven't they?
Mm. And the other thing too, there's a couple of things to come out of that game. Of course, let's just cover off on the Joey Leilua thing before we go any further. He's just got those silly things in his game hoops.
Yeah, rocks or diamonds is a classic phrase that's often referred to with Joey. And, yeah, like he'll win you games with a bit of brutality, a bit of skill, a flick pass, you know, some sort of big play in defence. But he'll also, he plays on the edge. You know, he redlines the entire time. And he was obviously highly emotional because of what had happened with his brother Luciano, who did get collected and by Appy Coruscant. I don't think there was any malice or intent in that incident, but Luciano was then forced off on a Medicab, so Joey's blood was boiling. But it's a brain snap, and knowing his coach and the type of hard taskmaster that he is, he'll be letting Joey know in no uncertain terms that he's not to spend any more time on the sidelines this season.
Then we had, of course, Ivan Cleary. You touched on it a little bit there with Josh. Ivan was blowing kisses to some of the Tigers fans, saying to him, look at the scoreboard, or bye-bye, see you next time. And look, I kind of feel a little bit for the Tigers fans, Hoops. You are a Tigers fan. Yeah. And he was down there, get on the bus, and then he, I mean, I know it's a long time ago now, and I know Ivan's got to get on with his life, but I think the Tigers fans have every right to feel a little bit cheesed off at him.
Yeah, plain and simple. A lot of Tigers fans don't like Ivan. It's just the way that it is. That's not going to change. But I got no doubt in the grandstand last night out of Bankwest, there were probably a select few that gave it to him over the course of 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably something that you can relate to, Anthony. Like, you understand what it's like when you got people
berating you
in your face and sledging and questioning your integrity and, you know, really starting to put you in a corner. And so that was, you know, his reaction.
That's
to
when
it
gets vicious, Anthony.
Do you know what? I didn't realise, because as a player, like, I was loved and hated, you know, like, and if fans were coloured blind, I would have been probably hated more by all of them. But, you know, you'd get out on the field and sometimes the smaller the crowd, you would hear more of the jibes at you.
Mm.
Then when I hurt my neck, I was sitting in the box for State of Origin, and the passion from the New South Wales fans, I was sitting with Wayne Bennett. He copped more in 80 minutes than I copped in my whole career. And you know what? He just sat there like a big old cardboard cutout. He just sat there, did not move. Mm. I thought it was funny. I'm mesmerised by how passionate the fans get, and think by turning around and yelling out a bit of glass that it's going to affect how he coaches the team. But I love it. It's the passion. And just as long as they don't go overboard. And obviously Ivan, you know, mate, they might have been heckling him all night, and he had to wait till the end, and he just blew him a kiss and, you know, showed him where the scoreboard is. I like it. That's, you know, that's the theatre. That's the soap opera of rugby league.
Nah.
Sorry? You don't like it, Kenny?
I don't think Ivan should have reacted to it. I think it showed it got to him last night. And look, I understand it, but I just don't. Yeah. I wouldn't like to see it become a regular thing.
No.
That suddenly becomes normal in our game. The coaches, after a win, or after, you know, start giving it to opposition team fans. Fans pay their money. They're entitled to go and boo and cheer and hiss and do whatever they like. You pay your money, you're entitled. As long as you don't step that, we all know whether there's a very clear line.
It must have got underneath his skin,
Paul.
Of
course it did.
And when you do, and he didn't do anything bad, he didn't, you know, he didn't stick up his fingers. It was cool and calm. He pointed to the scoreboard and blew him a kiss. Because a bloke would have been going mad. But when he pointed to the scoreboard, you can imagine what the bloke was doing. He would have been calling him down here and do all this and let's have that.
That's a fascinating insight, though, Gordon, that one from State of Origin and yourself with Wayne. Because Wayne's the longest serving coach in the game, coached over 800 NRL games and then all the representative ones on top of that as well. And for him to show, to be able to hold his nerve like that, that says something.
But Wayne goes back to the time when coaches sat in the grandstand with the crowd.
Yes. Yeah.
He always sat in the grandstand even in modern times when
Lang Park.
87 grand finals
It all changed when at an Origin game where Gus Gould jumped up in the crowd and started yelling at the referee, "You cheating ass. You cheating ass. You cheating ass." And all these fans were horrified by it. Yeah, but that's an Origin coach blowing up at the referee, which we now see it in the box all the time.
Yeah.
But that's the point the game started moving from the grandstand sitting with the crowd, moved them elsewhere and put them back in behind the glass so they could sit there.
Well, what about if we did it like when I was in the N grade, the under fives at the Waterloo Waratahs? Coach Ronnie McGuinness would come out onto the field with us. Yeah. Could we do that?
We
get the coaches
that.
Out onto
well,
the
they
field.
Well, they do. They wear blue shirts these days.
Yeah, beautiful. Oh, exactly. Look,
the coaches still come out onto the field in the under fives.
Do
and
they?
Sixes.
I
yeah,
haven't
they
been
come
for
out,
they the Leichhardt Wanderers.
They help the kids run around. Yeah.
Leichhardt Wanderers, all little rich kids running around and, hey?
Yeah.
133353 is a number. Call us anytime.
That's a good sledge, Maroon.
Let's go to Maroubra. Peter, what did you want to say, Peter? And please keep it, I think it's about me, please. All I ask is that you keep it factual, Peter.
Hey, guys.
How are you, Peter?
Good.
What do you got for us, mate?
Last Wednesday, 3 p.m. on Bunurong Road in Matraville, Maroon parked his car in a mail zone. As where the Commonwealth Bank is, and he went across the road into Woolies. Now, it's his car. I won't say the number plate. It's S.
You said you won't say that.
No, the car, mate. It's a white Camaro, isn't it?
Yep. He parked it in a mail zone outside Bunurong Road where the Commonwealth Bank was, and he went to Woolies. Now, why can't he park it in a normal car spot? Does he have to park in a mail zone?
It's too important.
Peter, this is a very good point. Anthony, why are you above the law?
I'm not above the law.
Well, why are you above the law? You've just blatantly flaunted the law.
Yeah.
You're parked in
a mail
zone.
I had an elderly person in Woolies who I was helping get back into the car.
Start talking
and get
about
them back in the flats. And, Peter, Peter, who made you the bloody traffic police on Bunurong Road?
Mate, I was there, I went to the news agency and you parked your car there and I said, hang on a second, why can you park in a mail zone and I can't?
Hey, well, mate, you can.
Because he's the postman, he always delivers.
That's it. Yes, Gordy. All right, thanks, Pete. Thanks for that insight. Yes, I did park there, but I had good reason.
Sorry, can we just clarify, what was that good reason?
Well, as you know, I help the elderly people in the community. And with this COVID-19 thing,
You told us Ezzy was gone.
Yeah, Ezzy has gone. Ezzy's not the only old bloke in Little Bay.
Oh, was it Daphne?
No, it was someone else altogether. Oh. All right? It was a bloke named Cyril Jarvis. Just leave him out of it. Leave him out of it. Now, what I want to do, Maroon's poll. I'll come back and give you Maroon's poll.
You haven't given a spruik all day. What's going on? You're very late off the mark.
I've got the poll out now. It's here
it's
it
impressive.
Is. Should Ivan Cleary have blown kisses at the Tigers supporters last night? I say no. I say he shouldn't. I mean, they have every right to be angry at Ivan. I love Ivan. Don't get me wrong. And Cameron and Trent and all that. But I say he shouldn't have done that. Go to the Triple M NRL Facebook page or at @MMNRL and say what you think. I say he shouldn't have done it. Maybe you think differently as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back to it. 133353 is our number. Today we've got both games coming up for you this evening too. That's Manly Knights and Doggies Rabbitohs right across the Triple M NRL network. So a couple of good games this afternoon to finish off this round of the NRL. Time to just check in on some news that's happening out and around the place. Firstly to John Bateman, who has now signed to play for the Wigan Warriors. They've got a couple of good ex-NRL players, but Bateman leaving the NRL, we'll get to the Ricky Stewart part of that. But he said you were lying about him, didn't he, Hoops? But in the end, you were telling the truth.
I don't know if he said I was lying, but he called me a palooka.
A palooka,
which is one of your favourite words. And
I told him to call you that.
Essentially suggested that it was fake news.
Yeah.
But as I said at the time, you know, I stood by the story. I trust the people who told me implicitly. And he's now off to Wigan on a 4-year deal. So
for less money than what he was offered to stay here.
It's actually, you know what, Paul, it's actually the John Bateman situation saddens me. The whole scenario, 100%. Like he should be at the Canberra Raiders for another 3 or 4 seasons. He should be one of their best forwards. Yeah. He should be taking them back to grand finals again, but he's been really badly advised and
got greedy.
Is a situation that he's got himself into.
Got greedy.
He's gone back to that beautiful weather in the north of England.
Yeah.
Do you think that he did what I did and went in and negotiated for less?
Yep.
Yes.
He
got an agent to the Stars and he went in. He saw COVID-19 coming ahead of time and he negotiated for less.
Right. Beautiful. Good to see somebody who
knows
that.
That's my article today in the Sunday Mail is about, I think the game needs to draw a line in the sand. And I saw Ricky come out and now the Warriors have made that line. And I think all managers are guilty and I've got a manager. So I'm part of the situation here. Is The game needs to draw a line in the sand, take a leaf out of Ricky's and the Warriors book and start getting a bit of control back.
Yeah.
So they're not getting bullied by these clubs. And if you don't sign him, you don't get him. And if you don't sign him, I'm going to take the coach. And if you don't re-sign the coach or whatever
but
happens
I tell
behind
you what
the doors.
Gordon, John Bateman, I believe, is now entitled to sack his manager.
Yeah.
Because
he's going to get him more.
Because, well, his manager, Johnny Bateman, was on $580,000 at the Canberra Raiders. The Raiders called him in and said, mate, we love what you're doing. We're going to extend you and upgrade you, so we're going to go to $750,000.
Yep.
He had a manager saying, mate, you should be getting $900,000. So he sacked his old manager and got this new manager who told him he should be getting $900,000. Then what he does is they begin to negotiate, and when the Raiders say to the new manager, mate, we'll give him $750,000, he said, that's a good starting point. Mm-hmm. At that point, the Raiders said, that's it, mate. We're done.
Yeah.
We are not going to go beyond $750,000. We know his value. They stuck true on it. So then a couple of other clubs who were desperate, the Dragons and the Bulldogs, they sort of showed a little bit of interest. But again, it couldn't justify the money that they were being asked to pay for him. So all that's now left for John Bateman is to go back to England, which he didn't want to do, play there for less money than what the Raiders were going to pay him. He's entitled to say to the manager, mate, you've just stuffed everything up. So I don't want you now. But this is the hold the managers have on the players. Players do not realise they employ the manager.
Not the other way around.
It's not the other way around. But they behave
and what
like
is it,
the
say
manager.
5%?
What's that?
Is it about 5%? So just say if it's on $1 million.
Well, it's 6%. But this is the other thing, Gordy.
Just say you're paying him $200,000 for 5 hours of meetings.
Yeah.
That's what footy players pay these guys. Let's say $100,000 if you're on for 2 hours, 3 hours of meetings.
Mm. Yeah. The other thing is too is the players are paying 6%, and in the AFL, managers only get 4%, sometimes 4.5%.
What do you pay your agent, Anthony?
I pay him a carton of Tui's, and I think I gave his mother a box of Cadbury Favourites last year.
Yeah.
If you must know. Look, before we go any further, let me play you the Ricky Stewart audio talking about Isaac Moses and player managers in general.
We knew what was going to happen, so we were sick of waiting, and it's really disappointing. John's he's a real big part of the squad, and he's a world-class player. The NRL need to help clubs in regards to how we have to deal with certain managers over the way they agitate clubs, and it disappoints me because it's so hard to build a strong roster. But proud of the club that they've took a stance and wanted to get a decision, because the last thing we're going to be is a club such as the Broncos or the Warriors where they've just been ruined by agitation and the manipulation of roster.
The issue here, see, is with the player managers, they are... Isaac Moses put a statement out after Ricky Stewart's comments saying, my priority is the player. He's got no responsibility for the welfare of the club. And that's true. That's what their job is to do. But there's a way you do your business. You don't encourage players, and this is not just John Bateman, this is across the board. You don't encourage players to break contracts because you, as the manager, originally negotiated a poor deal. And that's essentially what's happening. Mm. We've seen that with other players in the past where they've signed with clubs. A year into their three-year contract, they've realised that they've gone too light. The money's not, the player market value is actually probably a little bit higher. But rather than saying, you know what, we've done a bad deal, we'll see it out in 3 years and then we'll go again, they find a way to break the contract to force the club to then release the player, and then they shop into another club. Generally, they go and get another club interested. This is the bit I don't, there's no honour among thieves with clubs. A manager will come to them, say, what if I can get you, Anthony Maroon, to come over and play? And they go, well, mate, he's got 3 more years left at West Tigers. How can we do that? Oh, mate, I'll just get him out of there. And so the club says, all right, well, mate, we'll offer him this amount. And he'll only come for this amount, and it's not anything less. It's because he's on a dud deal over there. I've done a dud deal for him at West Tigers, so I want to take him to Parramatta and get him more money.
Yeah.
And that's they do the deal. They do the deal. The clubs should sit down and actually say, we're not doing this anymore. And all it would take is 2 or 3 years of discipline from the clubs to actually say to managers, no, mate, we're not doing our business this way. And we're not going to take another player who's broken his contract. The NRL should stop players who break contracts, being allowed to go to other clubs for more money. That would begin to address the problem.
Well, I said it was Ryan Madison. So he wasn't a big name at the time. He was at the Roosters. He was in and out. He wasn't getting a start every week. He was a fringe player. He gets a start at the Tigers, has a great year, then he's not happy. That deal was great for him at the time. He signed the deal.
Yep.
He didn't sign under Jarius. Then when he started playing good footy, well, hold on, I'm better. And that's what we were all talking about. If the game would have stayed strong on him, it would have been better. I sat out a year. I sat out 20 years ago. St. George had, for Bill Harrigan's term, the intestinal fortitude to make me sit out a year and stand by their decision. Since then, there hasn't been a board as strong as the Dragons then. To make me sit out as a 20-year-old kid, there was no money. I think it was on 140 grand a year. They were prepared to blow that money up. Ryan Madison wasn't on that much money. The game could have afforded him sitting out a year, right, to learn a lesson, and maybe the clubs would have fallen in the line.
But such is the problem with the salary cap. Clubs don't want to take the risk of having a $300,000 or $400,000 player, $500,000 player, whatever it is, not playing from a moral point of view, because
I get it.
It lessens the strength, therefore puts pressure on the club to win games, therefore puts pressure on the coach. And if the coach stays strong, we only got to see what's happened to St. George with Jack DeBell, and for different reasons, not allowed to play, but such has been the impact of not having a player of that calibre in your squad every week that the Dragons have really struggled now for a season and a half.
Now, sorry, Hoops.
Further to Gordy's point about Ryan Madison, I think this is another example of where player managers are also allowed to manage coaches. So Ryan Madison decided that he wasn't happy at the West Tigers. Apparently he had issues with Madge and how hard some of the training that would go on was, right?
Let me finish,
right? Yeah, and there was enough day, right? But also his agents look after the Eels coach, Brad Arthur. And so behind the scenes, it's not that tricky to join the dots. And back to Isaac Moses's initial statement, like, of course, any agent is entitled to do the best by the player that they're representing. That's their job. You'd expect nothing less. But the statement that he put out, if he actually went through it, from everything that we've also heard out of the Canberra Raiders, I'll tell you what, there's some glaring differences.
Oh, 100%. But the fact is, his job is to do the best by his player, and nobody will ever knock him for doing that. But how you do your business is how you do your business. And some people have no qualms about the ethics involved and just ignoring the ethics that are there. There is an ethical way to do business. Contracts are there to protect the interests of both parties. But there's also, I believe there's something of a moral code there that if a bloke's going to give you a day's pay, you've got to give him a day's work. You know what I mean? And so that's the commitment you make to each other. Now, if you've negotiated a poor deal, you can go back to the club and say, look, mate, we probably undersold ourselves here. And, mate, I'm sure some clubs will do that. They will say, okay, well, as the Raiders did with Johnny Bateman.
The Raiders were happy to do it.
They said, mate, we got you for $580. Technically, we can keep you on. You know, I think it had those gradual pay rises with each year. He goes up to 600 and whatnot. But they recognised what he was, what he was doing, and his value to the team. They said, mate, we'll upgrade you to 750. That wasn't enough. Went to market, found out that 750 actually was about market rate. Now he can't find an NRL club. He's had to go back to Wigan to play.
You know, the other ridiculous element of all of the John Bateman scenario is that the Raiders actually paid a termination fee, a transfer fee.
$200,000.
Right, from Wigan. Yeah. No, it was £200,000, mate, which equates to $375,000, right? Wow. Now, when you spread that over 3 years, it's 100, and Anthony, you're better at maths than I am, it's 100 and whatever it works out per season.
About 125.
Right? 125 per season. So if he's already on nearly 600 a season, let's say his contract averaged out at $600,000 a season, or was supposed to for his 3 years at the Raiders. Well, you throw that on top as well. Tell you what, it was a pretty good deal. So I feel as though John Bateman let the Raiders down in that respect.
Good on you, boys.
I played a long time ago, but there was a guy, we were on a tour.
What was his name?
Not going to say. And we're all talking, and we're sitting down having a beer one day, and then a couple of blokes, you know, just resigned for certain clubs, and they were just saying, oh, yeah, you know. And we were friendly because we were a really close group of guys, and they started talking about what they got, and they got offered this, but they stayed there or whatever. And the guy that I was playing with, right, didn't have a manager. And he was on half of what these guys were, and he was better than all of them. He just rang up the club, mate. We just went to the pub together. We got back. We rang up the club. Didn't have the manager. The club paid him. The clubs know when they get you undervalued. Yeah. And so you don't need a manager to go in there and do it. And then he got his market rate. All he said, he goes, I just want the market rate. This is what it was. Am I worth that? They said, yes. It's as simple as that.
All right, boys, let's take a break. When we come back, Maroon's quiz, just to lighten things up a bit. But we've what about the prize we've got today for Maroon's quiz? We were talking about chomps last week on the show.
Love them.
Tony Soprano, one of our producers out there, the hitman, our hitman Tony Soprano's mother has sent over to Abruzzo, that's their hometown, which is a place in Italy, to get some chomps flown into Australia. And we are going to give away chomps as the prize.
I love them.
You boys have to decide is if you want to have like a prize pool as first gets all the chomps, or
have got a whole lot of those.
They are feeding them. There's a lot of chomps.
Where's Abruzzo? Is it Sicily or whereabouts exactly is Abruzzo, Anthony?
It's near Rome, mate. If think of Rome as Sydney. Well, then think of Abruzzo as Wollongong. That's about the best way I can put it.
Not bad.
So people might live in Abruzzo but work in Rome.
Right on the other
or
end,
something.
Eh?
But anyway, this is a good topic today. NRL Grand Finals. Oh, we've hit the big time.
Oh.
And it's coming up next for a nice, cold, chalky chomp as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back to it, right across the Triple M network, north to the beautiful city of Cairns, Townsville up there in Port Douglas. They listen to Triple M down into the Whitsundays and, of course, the Fraser Coast, Triple M Cairns, Mackay down into beautiful city of Brisbane and out to Woomba, then into the Goldie, my favourite place on earth, then into Coffs, Port Macquarie, down into Newcastle, Central Coast, beautiful Riverina area, up in Dubbo, wherever you are. Triple M rocks the footy, and this afternoon from 4, it's Newcastle versus Manly, but right now it's time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Yes, well, I tell you what, I've been getting lots and lots of communication, lots of emails through the week. Hi, Maroon, loving the pub quiz you do with the boys on a Sunday. Just keeps it real. A
lot of letters.
A lot of emails. Some letters. Yeah. Sometimes I get some letters in the mail.
Yeah.
Right, I get some faxes.
Yeah. That would explain your parking habits.
Yeah. How do you mean?
I go and pick up your mail.
That's right. Yes. And I had to go and get it. I got a telegram as well through the week.
How old are you?
Yeah, exactly. So that's just people are loving the quiz. Today the topic is NRL Grand Finals. Your name is your buzzer. And the prize today from Tony Soprano's mother, the big old bag of chomps from the beautiful city of
Abruzzo.
That's correct. Now, question number one, your name is your buzzer. Who did Broncos beat in their last grand final win?
Paul.
Melbourne.
Ooh.
And that is correct. 1-0. Paul. Oh, there's one. That's a chomp for Evie. If you're going to see Evie this afternoon.
How long ago was it?
Here we go. Question number two. And in the same grand final, who won the Clive Churchill medal?
Gordy.
Yes.
Sean Berrigan.
1-0. Oh, I tell you what, these are good questions.
I was overseas for that.
Mate, you're the only one that's not off the board yet.
Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah,
which is no
that's
surprise.
Standard, Anthony.
In the 2010 grand final, who coached the Roosters?
Hoops.
Yes.
Brian Smith.
Oh, what about this? It's 1-1 in the big chomp cup. Chomp cup, at least. 1-1.
For your false teethy.
Here we go. And your name is your buzzer. What Morris brother played for the Dragons in the 2010 grand final?
Hoops.
Hoops.
Brett
is correct. Hoops, you're going to win. 2-1. This is fantastic. Ring up his mother. Ring up his kids.
He's never led, has he?
No, he hasn't.
I won early doors.
I won one of the first ones. Don't feel lesser than.
Do I need to go back to the tape?
Don't feel lesser than the other guys, mate.
Don't ruin the quiz. This is your moment to shine.
Here we go.
To the script.
This one for the game here. Here we go. 2017. What Cowboys player, if you get this one, you get the golden chomp. What 2017 grand final, what Cowboys player played for the Storm? Hang on. In 2017, what Cowboy? Let me just say that again.
Man, you need the golden chomp.
What player played for the Cowboys in the 27 grand final? Let me start again.
This is what producers waving at me. This is what
thanks, Dan RSL. That's my place. 2016 grand final.
Oh, 16 now. Who well, played... I'm going to get my head around 17.
It's going to come into it. Who played for Melbourne in the 2016 grand final and the Cowboys in the 2017 grand final? That's it. Who played for Melbourne in the 2016 grand final and the Cowboys in the 2017 grand final for the Golden Chomp?
I don't know.
No.
The answer is Ben Hampton. So you all stay on one all. Well, hang on, you're winning. This one for the game. Let's wrap this up please. As quick as we can.
Yes, well, no,
it's going good.
Okay.
Buzzer off. Take my hand off the buzzer.
Who coached the winners of the 2011 grand final and the losers of the 2012 grand final?
Hoops. Paul.
Yes, Hoops.
Des Hasler.
Ah, oh, he's won himself a big old bag of chomps. We're proud of you, son.
Hey.
Yes. Hey. He's won a big good old bag of chomps. Hey. Tony Soprano's lovely mother.
This gives every everybody. Little battler hope across That's the country.
It. Yes, it does. Yeah. Up to the underdog. And what about this? For
I can, mate. True if Aussie. Hoops can win this, honestly, you can do anything.
There's hope for the world.
Yes. Hey? You'll never forget.
You can flap your arms and fly to the moon.
And what a... No wonder they call
Kanye
him Australia.
Might end up as president of the US.
Hey, Kanye West.
Kanye might end up as president
hey,
of the US.
What about that? He's just thrown his hat in the ring. Don't you just love American politics?
Yeah, crazy, crazy.
We are witnessing the decline of the American empire. It's not often. Like in 1,000 years, there'll be the Roman Empire. And what happened? There'll be the Greeks. And there'll be the American empire of the 20th century and what actually happened to them. And we're actually witnessing it.
Well, I don't know how we got onto that, but next week, well, in the pub quiz...
These are
quiz,
all types of topics.
We're
going to
do American
trivia.
We're just trying to loosen your section up a bit.
Please don't bring politics up.
Just to wrap it up, I just want to say, now, why do they call you Australia's little hero?
Yes.
You've just said everybody gets a chomp.
That's it.
So that's well played, Oprah Winfrey style. You get a chomp, you get a chomp, you get a chomp. Right. Let's take a break and we'll come back
you
because
are a chomp.
Happy hour is only 14 minutes away as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Okay, let's get back to it, and we'll get back into some footy now, too. Let's have a quick look at the ladder. Thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. At Tyre Power, you get $100 cash back on selected Michelin tyres. Now, Parramatta, of course, leading the comp with 14 points. Panthers on 13, so great to see those two Sydney teams right up there, Western Sydney teams. In third, the Storm, 12. Roosters, fourth on 10. The Raiders are on 10-2, and they haven't even really hit their straps yet. Knights, 9. Sharks, 8. Tigers, 8. Now, just outside those top 8, you've got Manly on 8 points and Souths on 6. But as I say, it's the live ladder, so that still could change. But let's talk about the team winning the comp at the moment. Parramatta, who, thanks to Taipower, had a massive win the other night, 42 points to 4 over the Cowboys. Gutho had a blinder. 100 games now for Parramatta. Mike Acevo got 4 tries, and they are one of those teams, I guess, Gordy, that you could say, are they going to peak early? But right across the park from Paulo to Regan Campbell-Gillard to both the Browns, then out wide, they just look a complete team, don't they, Para?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're just ticking along at the moment, and they're playing great footy. I think Parramatta have always been one of those sides that when everything's going for them, they are brilliant off the front foot. But I think that what we've witnessed this year is, you know, they can win off the back foot against the Cowboys. They're sort of games that Parramatta would have maybe dropped to their level, but there's a standard that they're going out and they're sticking to, and they're all driving each other to play that standard. I was... I was keen to watch them play without Mitchell Moses because he's been, you know, like their focal point in attack. And they didn't drop the ball. They were absolutely brilliant. Gutho and Sivo, like they had Rad Raja, and I thought that's a massive hole because he started their sets and he finished their sets. But what Mike Sivo's doing on the wing, as I said, there was a chance for a State of Origin winger marking him. He came up with the wrong option all the time. He took the centre, which was a smart option, but he's just so big. They're just ticking along nicely.
I think they look magnificent, Parramatta. Yeah. I think they've really recruited well in recent years. They've really purposely picked the squad that they've got. Yeah, there's no panic signings. They've identified areas. Well, the getting Junior Paulo back, for instance, getting Regan Campbell-Gillard over to the club, they recognise they need a little bit more size and aggression and things like that. So they brought them over. They went out and targeted these guys and got them. I think it's a lesson about how you actually assemble a squad. And this year we're starting to see the fruits of it. We've seen a Parramatta side that I think for the first time are really genuine contenders. I think in past years They've always been a club that's been capable if things went their way.
Mm.
Whereas now I think we're seeing a side. Look, I don't think the finished product yet, but between there's certainly enough time between here and the end of the year to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can certainly trouble the already. We've seen them trouble the big teams, the Roosters and the Storm and whatnot. So, yeah, they're right in it.
And yeah, and Paul, you mentioned, you know, right off the top of the show about Brisbane just simplifying it. Well, they come up against the Cowboys, and I know the Cowboys are lacking confidence at the moment, but the post-contact meters is a stat that I do look at because that's your intent to run and just keep on driving your legs, put your body on the line, get your bruises, get forward, get your team forward. Well, they were like, I think 680 something meters post contact. So they're just, you know, working really hard after contact, you know, to keep on fighting and get a quick play of the ball, which is simple, you know, and it's not a stat and it doesn't come up against you, but that's what the team was bringing to, you know, playing the side with Temalolo that is normally brilliant at that. Well, you know, they got over double of what the Cowboys were doing and their missed tackles. So all their effort areas, like their missed tackles and all those little things were so low, which means, you know, that they're ticking along nicely. And as I said, the standards in their, you know, in their change room, you know, like bloody, they go sit there and they watch the video and there might be some KPIs up on the board. Well, they're sticking to those every week, which means when they come up against the Roosters or Melbourne Storm that they don't slip.
Gordy, you must love the form of Junior Paulo. Like for a big unit, they asked him on the coverage after the game was finished how much he weighed. What did he say, 122? For a big unit who's built the way that he is, to be able to pump out the minutes that he can with the skill and the finesse of his ball play and then the toughness of his carries, he is on fire at the moment.
He's got everything. It's unusual to watch a body shape like that play the quality minutes that he does. And I talked to Heine, and Heine's, you know, the closest guy that I know to Parramatta. He just said he's just got this unbelievable motor that just goes out there. He can get on the edge. He's got great hands. And I think in his interview they said, mate, what's your job description? Because he was doing everything. He goes, I just do what the team needs me to do. And that's a player that's confident to go outside what the coach needs me. But hold on, I'll get the job done too. So, mate, when you want me to bite down on the mouth guard and come off the back fence, I can do that. But when there's time to play a bit of footy, I can, you know, switch into that lane as well, which is very rare for a guy with that body shape.
And, Kenty, you touched a minute ago about how, you know, the Eels – a couple of years ago, they got the wooden spoon and they needed to be really smart about their recruitment. He was the first player they signed and they signed him on a 4-year deal. And I think it was around $700,000 a season. And quite a few people raised their eyebrows and went, wow, is that the smartest decision from the Eels? But then on the back of that, they also signed players like Sean Lane. Mm. They signed Mitchell Moses. Then further to that, they pick up a diamond in the rough last year in Ryan Madison, and that, you know, gets ugly at the West Tigers and he decides that he wants to ask for a release, all the rest of it. And now he's on that right edge as well. And so they've just got this really well-balanced side of
and
shapes
lost Sammy
and sizes.
And went out and found Micah Sivo, who obviously wasn't hard to follow.
Well, but you know, the funny thing with that was, though, he was at Penrith and there were people, very good judges at Penrith, questioning why he couldn't get a crack in the NRL, but he was just consistently playing Reggies.
Yeah.
And they got told, no, he's got issues coming out of yardage.
Yeah, well, he doesn't anymore.
Boys, they are such a big brand, aren't they, Parramatta?
Yep.
A big part of Sydney, a massive following, and when they haven't won a grand final for 34 years, but when they start being successful, I think we all get swept up in it. We would love to see Parramatta win a grand final. Do you think, Hoops, that there is a, you know, are we going off too early?
No, I think they're a genuine chance. Look, the thing with the Eels, it's similar to South's Maroon. They've got so many supporters out there and they've been starved of success for a hell of a long time. Yes, they made grand finals 2001, 2009, but they lost both of those. And then in between, there's been wooden spoons and salary cap scandals and all sorts of stuff that has meant that they've been a laughingstock at stages. And for a brand like them, you know, that's a really hard card to get dealt. So if they can do it, the emotion that will overawe this city will be, and the state will be out of control. It will be so good. It will literally be very similar to when you smashed that 43 season premiership drought, because there are that many Parramatta supporters out there. And you've only got to think back, you know, you go back to the 2009 grand final. I remember being in that crowd. It was 95% blue and gold and just going berserk. And then there was just like a tiny little slither of Melbourne Storm fans over the other side of the stadium.
Yeah, they're a good mob, the Para fans. Now, but on the other hand, there for our listeners through Triple M Townsville Cairns. Now, the Cowboys, they're a genuine disappointment. They have lost four of their last five games. They came out of nowhere and beat Newcastle last week, but they've been on the back end of some big scores, A, and B, they have been beaten by some teams in all of that that they really should have beat.
Yeah, I don't like the way the Cowboys play. I think that the shift in rules, they were a slow attacking team anyway. Last season, I think a big reason for their lack of performance last year was their attack was very slow. They like to set it. They like to have a dump to set up their play. They can't react quickly and go straight into their shapes. They've got to, you know, just basically hit one up and then we'll do it on the next tackle after that. It's too slow. Teams adjust too quickly these days. And then with the change in the rules, the Cowboys have failed to adjust to that. And so they play, they're still this old style where one, they like to have a hit up to set up their play. And then their play most often is like just the old block plays out the back, which every team, when they first came into the game 10 or so years ago, they're quite hard to figure out defensively. Now they do so much drill work, left side against right side, left side attack against right side defence, training and whatnot, that they're all used to it. So they all know it now. And they've seen the shapes before. Teams can defend it easily. And the Cowboys continue to play it. And I think Matty Johns made a really good point actually about the Cowboys, where when you see players come into clubs and they have an influence on their attack, and if the team can sort of turn, build its attack around that style. And the Cowboys had Jonathan Thurston there, where their whole attack was built around Thurston being reactive. And then when Thurston retired and went out of it, they haven't found a style yet. They haven't figured out how to quite get themselves around the park. And I think Morgan not being there is a big disadvantage. He's a guy who I think they need. We all saw what he did when Thurston was out injured that year, and he just picked up the reins and started commanding more ball. They need a dominant player in that area, and they just don't have one. And the team is playing like they're waiting for one.
Yeah, and Morgan's still a long way off. Anyway, Paul, we have to do happy hour. That means you have to go, mate. So have a wonderful – take your chomps.
Yeah, no, they're gone.
Oh, they were nice, those chomps. Thanks to Tony Soprano's mum for bringing those in. And we'll take a break. Paul will go home. We'll come back. We'll touch on the Broncos again and what's going on there. Have a look at these games this afternoon, and there's some good ones too. Manly Knights, a very important one, and South's Doggies, that game's on tonight. G'day to a lot of people going to Bankstown RSL to watch that tonight, so I might see you there myself. Let's take a break and we'll come back as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.